Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now here's a message from one of the pastors here at the Rock.
They like to talk. So we're gonna try this out. So let's give it up for our panel. Hi, girls.
Hi.
Awesome. Well, we're glad you're with us today. It's been a great summer season. We've like really dabbled and dug deep, and we've got into some taboos. How many of you were in the taboo workshops? The things you don't want to talk about, but we dealt with them, and we kind of gave you some tools. And how many of you got healed from some things during those workshops? Awesome. Beautiful. And then we had our Keys to the Kingdom workshop, and many of you were inspired to go out and be full-time ministers, love your neighbor, love the world, love your families. How many of you enjoyed getting filled up from those workshops? What an incredible teaching you got from them. Awesome. Well, we are going to talk today just about being girls. You know, I'm going to start with this. I am part I get this like thing once a month, and it's like a bag of goodies. Like, you know, like you don't buy yourself anything as a mom, but like this, somebody talked me into it, like pay this price and every month you'll get like a bag of like samples for makeup or for hair products or whatever. Right. And so I'm like, all right, I'm going to do this. I won't mention the name of this because I'm not trying to advertise them. So I've been doing it. Well, they sent me something a few weeks ago, and it was a brochure. And on the brochure, they had a model throughout the brochure, and on it was a man. It was a man modeling women's makeup and a man modeling women's hair products, and I was like offended as a woman. And you might think, what are you talking about, Pastor Joyce? This is a society we live in today. Listen, womanhood has fought so hard to have our own voice and to be and to celebrate who we are as women. And I feel sad that society is not enjoying the benefits of all the labor that went before us to put us on the map, to help us to vote, to help us to be women. Now, I am not like Mrs. Feminist Woman, but I am saying we need to celebrate who we are as women. And sometimes the world wants to blend that and blur that, and other people have identity issues and crisis, but we need to understand that God made us a woman, and that when we are a woman that God has made us to be, we become beautiful in every way. I'm not saying we all need makeup, but sometimes we need to paint the barn. And I know I had to paint my barn today. And, you know, there are things that God gives us as women. There's tools. There's things that he puts inside of us. We're natural nurturers. We see the details in things because we've got to keep everyone alive, right? I noticed that if I don't do it, nobody does it, right? Like, I had to have a family meeting this morning before I left the house, and I'm like, this is how your day is going to go because I'm not going to be home. And I had to let each boy look me in the eye and go, now what are you supposed to do while I'm gone? And I am not expecting any of it to be done when I get home. Because when mama's gone, you know, things just don't get done. I did let my babysitter today know a full list of things, and she responded with, yes. So we'll see if she gets them done. But the reality is you know that you are powerful and that the things that God has put inside of us to be able to do. The other day I'm walking around the house and I'm talking to Dan and I'm doing laundry, and then I walk into our bedroom and I expect him to just follow me because I'm still in this conversation. And he's like, why are you walking away from this conversation? I'm like, I'm not. You're supposed to be following me. I have to do laundry and have this conversation. You see, we naturally are multitaskers. He did not understand that that's what was going on. And it's okay that men can be men. Let's let them do their jobs and be who they are. But let's be us as women, and let's celebrate femininity. Let's celebrate being a woman. Let's celebrate our gifts and our talents. Let's not put ourselves down because we're not pretty enough or we don't look like the people on the brochures, because I really did not look like that guy on the brochure. And I just want to say, in the house of God, God made you a woman. He created you a woman, and he made you that way because he loves you, because there's things and gifts and talents inside of you. And here at Women Rock, we celebrate being a woman. We celebrate who you are. We celebrate the gifts that God has put inside of you. And we come to learn and to dig deeper into how God needs us to be a woman, because we can use our femininity and our womanhood in a wrong way, or we can use it in a godly way. And so let's learn today about how to use it in a godly way. So I have incredible teachers here. They've all been teaching you this summer. In fact, Pastor Michelle just decided not to be on the panel because there's so many of us. But Pastor Michelle was also one of our teachers this summer. And let me just introduce them. Reverend Dr. Vanessa is with us. Reverend Beth is with us. Pastor Tracy is with us. Reverend Teresa is with us. Pastor Sue is with us. Pastor Joanna is with us. And so girls, today, let's just have a woman chat. Can we do that? Let's chat like girls do, and let's get into some things. I have a question for you, and all of you can chime in. Now listen, I'm gonna make a rule. I might cut you off if you talk too long. Are you looking at me? Because I only have a certain amount of time, and we gotta keep the ball rolling, okay? All right, so here's the first question. In this day and age, yes, I was looking at Pastor Sue. In this day and age, only because such wisdom pours out of her.
That wisdom, girl.
I know, right? She loves me. Okay, in this day and age, what godly advice would you like to give to a woman? If you could give a woman any godly, because womanhood is very different now than it was a long time ago. Maybe there's things that you grew up with that you don't see any longer. What would be some advice that you would give from your point of view, from your age group, from your perspective? Anybody, any takers?
Sure, I'll take it.
I would say walk in the light. 1 John 1:7 says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. And here's the reality, that in this day and age, it's easy to get isolated. It's easy to get separated. Yeah, I mean, I'm saying as a single woman, super easy to get isolated, super easy to live in your own shell and do things on your own and not be open. But walking in the light, if we walk in the light, then we have fellowship. Yeah. So if we're willing to be open with God, first of all, Lord, look at my heart, shine in. When you're in worship, really get in there with God and say, okay, look at me. What's inside of me? What's going on? What needs to come forth? What's blocking my interaction with you? What's keeping me from a solid relationship with you? What do you speaking to me? Because then when we walk in the light, we are able to have fellowship. And the truth is that we need each other, yeah. Right? We need each other to do life well. We need each other to be accountable. We need each other to be encouraged. We need each other to be propelled into God's plan for our life. So when we walk in the light with the Father, we're able to have fellowship with one another. We're able to genuinely connect with other people and be honest and be real and be intimate. And they're able to speak genuine into our life. And we don't connect with people and feel empty afterwards, right? Because first we have to be open with the Father. And so no matter what stage of life you're in, even if you have a husband and you have children, there can still be a superficiality to the relationships outside of that you still need if we're not open to the Father. Right. So no matter what we do, remain open, walk in the light with God, so that in turn we can walk in the light with others and we can have victory over the things that want to attack us and keep us down and bind us up. Is that good?
Very good. Very good. Okay, in this day and age, what godly advice would you like to give to someone? Yes, Beth.
So coming from, you know, I'm the youngest up here, so I'm part of the millennial generation. Okay. And I think one thing that I would say is build your life on Jesus. As a millennial, if you're not living for Jesus, there's plenty of other things to live for. Yeah. There's so many nonprofits. Some of us, we can find ourselves living for an image. Some of us, we can find ourselves living for a talent that we have, and we're gonna pour everything into that talent. It could be we're gonna build our lives around or on a relationship. I will change everything about me to make this relationship work. Whatever it is, we can find ourselves building upon that. But in 1 John, I love this verse. It says in 1 John 2:17, and this world is fading away along with everything that people crave, but anyone who does what pleases the Lord will live forever. And so those things, they're gonna fade. They're gonna fade. And And as a young person and as any age in this place, we need to make sure that what we're pouring our time, our emotions, our energy, our finances into, that it's something that's going to last forever. Because if you don't build it on Jesus, believe me, you will be convinced without even knowing it to build it on something else. But those relationships, one day they're going to fade, and that talent one day is going to fade, and Instagram, guess what? That's not going to go with you to heaven. You're not going to keep all those followers in heaven. And I think the reality is that we need to make sure we're building our life on Jesus, and that takes intentionality. It takes focus. You know, and as a young person, I can get very distracted very fast. I'm like, wait, why am I spending so much time on this? Why is this consuming my day? And I think that when it's built on Jesus, the rest of those things, those relationships, those gifts, those talents, even your Instagram can be used for the kingdom of God, but it has first be Jesus. Right.
Good. Anyone else?
Yes, okay. I work with, you know, our Spanish speakers, with our Spanish ministry, and one thing that I love when our Spanish-speaking women come on Thursday mornings, because we're learning that God has something unique and special for us. It's easy, I think, for all of us ladies to kind of just fall into what our grandma did and what our mom did and just kind of cook the meals. And if I can just keep my kids, get them to soccer practice on time or whatever, and just kind of get into the mom routine, and we're like missing this extra thing that God has for us. He has something special for us. And He sees us as special. And I think that sounds like a cliche, but it's really true. And I think it's beautiful when women can find out, like, you knew me before I was born. You made me with this personality, with this strength. I'm different than my sisters and my cousins and my friends. And just to know that God loves our uniqueness and has something extra special. And I've seen our ladies be able to, even with Rock on the Streets on Saturdays, you know, ladies who in a, if they hadn't known the Lord, they would just do the cooking thing and the raising kids. But on a Saturday, God is using them in a really special way, and they're just starting to see, like, hey, I just did that, you know. And so when we begin to find our place in God's kingdom and just find, like, wow, I did something amazing, you know. And I think that that's something that us women, we need to know, we're amazing. God has some really special things for each one of us. Yeah.
Good. Pastor Sue, you grew up with like a whole bunch of girls in your house, and you saw womanhood. And your mom was a great mom. Back when you were young, okay, when you were little, I'm gonna go there because I wanna know. Like, what were some things that your mom would say to you on a constant basis that, like, kind of shaped who you are today, that maybe would bless someone here? Because maybe we weren't raised with that. Well, I was, but maybe other people weren't raised with that solid foundation, you know, of a mother who cared. Is there anything that just comes off the top of your head?
Well, my challenge is, my mom wasn't always as encouraging as she should have been. You know, she was, you know, a little on the critical side of life and stuff. And I was very outgoing and started cheerleading young and all that. And she had a tendency to compare me to my older sister, who was perfect. So I had some challenges. So to rebel against that, I went kind of the popular route. I went the worldly route instead of pursuing good grades and drama and music and everything like my perfect sister did. And because I rejected a lot of when she was trying to maybe encourage me, she would, you know, say, oh, you think, you know, you're just too high and mighty and you need to listen to your mother and all this kind of stuff. So I didn't have this as good a relationship as I should have had, and I tend to be daddy's girl. And so actually I was bad for, if mom said no, I'd go to dad. You know how that works. So it wasn't the healthiest relationship, but I had a great relationship with my older sister when I was young, and then later with my younger sister. And so that sister bonding was really great. And the things that my mom instilled that were good, I would say, was a really great work ethic, you know, and working hard. And I kind of tried to raise my kids a lot the same way, you know, work hard, play hard kind of a thing. And I still, I guess some of the things that I see, maybe it's that critical spirit I inherited. No, but I tend to see, maybe with a lot of the younger generation, a tendency to kind of, I deserve this. And so almost like I deserve to take a break, but always taking a break, you know. And you deserve everything that Jesus provided for you. But if you want to really keep your home in order, if you want to really see your kids be disciplined and excel in life, you know, in certain areas, developing their gifts and their talents, it's going to take some work. And even with your spiritual walk, I would say it's easy right now to just, like, I was really amening what everyone has said, but what Beth was saying about, it's just easy to just go with the flow, just go with the tide, because your flesh nature wants to just be lazy and relax and just hang out on social media maybe for hours at a time or whatever. And so you have to work at disciplining that. And for me, it helps to start the day out with Jesus. I just spend time with him and let him give me my marching orders. And if you tend to be tired or whatever, the Holy Spirit will just ignite you and exhilarate you to where you have that strength. And kind of get the job done, you know, get the house clean, do what you need to do as a mom, as a grandma and everything. And then when it's time to relax, yeah, have fun on social media, big deal. But just that tendency that you've got to actually fight against that stream that just wants to take you down. So
it's really good. So work ethic.
Work ethic.
Yeah. And honestly, I do wonder if the generation, even my generation, has so babied our children that they don't understand the importance of work, you know. And I don't know if it's because of technology, I don't know, but we're raising a different generation now. And I noticed that I have to like tell my kids to go out and play, where my mom never had to tell us to go out and play. My mom had to try and get us to come back in from playing. I remember my mom saying, because I had a horse, and she would go, when it's dark, that horse better be locked up in the barn. Like, because I used to come out after dark, and then it was really a pain in the butt trying to get the horse all taken care of in the dark. So we had rules. I mean, but I don't have those conversations as much anymore. I mean, I had to tell the kids, go outside, but it's so hot. Well, jump in the pool. Like, I mean, really, like, get off your phones. Give me your phones, you know. So I know for me, I've had to put that like limit. Like today, I was telling my sitter that I have for today, 1 hour, that's it, and break it up. Like, they don't get one full hour. Like, if you need a break because you got to go clean something up that you've been doing, it's fine if they watch a show or if they get, but you need to limit that because they're not learning work ethic. You know, give them some chores to do. Would you say that's something that you learned from your mom? Because my Absolutely. Mom gave me chores.
Yeah, we had chores. Every Saturday morning was chores.
Yeah,
because
Saturday.
The whole house Saturday morning, and everybody had their jobs, and, you know, I was more on the inside chores. The girls were. We were very in our roles, and the boys did the outside chores, you know, but it was done, and we didn't play until it was done. So we would race around like little ants on a picnic lunch trying to get it done so that we could then go out and play. And because I had a lot of brothers and sisters, there were seven of us, and we had kind of a lot and a half. We were an older home in a subdivision, and we had a tree house, a tree fort. So the whole neighborhood came to our house. It was the neighborhood park. So a lot of times there were kids kind of standing at the border of our house wanting to come in and play, but we couldn't play yet, you know. So, and then, you know, there was the daily, you know, make your bed, all that kind of stuff. So there was a feeling that you had to get the work done before you could play. There was that sense.
Yeah.
And so now sometimes, I mean, I'll see kids that there's no sense of any responsibility. And I wonder how they're going to be as adults, mm-hmm. you know. My kids definitely aren't perfect, but both of them have just, they know how to work hard. They're very hard workers. And I always say to my husband, we did one thing right. No, but anyway, so just that's kind of what I see is it seems to be kind of a missing link. And it's okay for kids to learn to discipline themselves and to work, because that's part of learning how to discipline your flesh and also to take care of business and responsibility, knowing that then you can relax and enjoy. You know, so I don't.
Very good. I mean, these are women issues, you know, and we're moms. And so sometimes we didn't have the mom at home, you know, to teach us, but maybe some of your guys' wisdom. And you know, I will say, Teresa, don't disqualify yourself from this, because you're auntie of all aunties. I mean, this girl like takes care of all of her nieces and nephews and loves them. And so let's get into parenting. Do you guys mind talking about this a bit? We have
a lot of kids here at the Rock Church, and we have a lot of good parents. I had a young couple come up to me just recently and say, my kid is like 2 or 3 and I do not know what to do. They turned into like this devil, and I am scared to discipline because I was beaten as a child and I don't know how to do this. What is this normal? Is my kid normal? You know, like they were this, they're new parents. They have no idea. And you know, I remember that first time being a parent. If you could give one advice as a parent, what would you be? What would be the advice you give? I'll start with you, Dr. V. If you can give one tip to a mom as a parent, what would it be? Because you got all ages.
I do. I would say just that, let me think. One, I got like 20 things are going through my mind. Yeah, okay. Well, I say that you can't be their friend. You know, a lot of times what I see is that the children are, I mean, my granddaughter is 2. And I went over there yesterday, I'm playing outside, and folly is bound up in the heart of a child, right? And you know, we were outside and it was hot. I had the little baby and she's playing and she is just bossing me around. She's like, and I'm like, it's hot and I'm going inside. She's like, no, Nana, sit. You know, and then she went and blocked the door, you know. And so they will boss you, and you want to be their friend and you want to play. But when it comes to things that are dangerous or things she shouldn't do, then all of a sudden you have to step into that role. And a lot of young parents don't know how to go from being a friend to being a parent. And you know, they're going to get friends throughout their whole life. Matter of fact, when they become teenagers, all of a sudden you're the enemy because their friends know it all and their friends are better and you're all out of date and you know nothing, but their friends know everything. And so rather than just get hurt at that time, just realize you can't be their friend, right? You have to raise them to know the Lord, to serve the Lord. You know, I was listening when you were asking Pastor Sue about things that were said, and I don't know if my mom said it, but all the time growing up you hear like, better to be thought a fool than to open your mouth and remove all doubt. Better to be thought a fool than to open your mouth and remove all doubt. In other words, they need to be taught to listen. You know, the Bible says that older women should train up the younger women. Why do you think it says that? You know, it says that because all of our godly principles that are gone in this millennial generation, for the most part, they need to continue. You know, and you know, a lot of people are of the mindset, you know, it doesn't take all that. But in actuality, especially today, it does. It takes the purity that we've lost. You know, I just came from Vegas for the weekend. My daughter was in a basketball tournament. And we went to the pool, and there was so much homosexuality. We had to leave the pool. I mean, men were frolicking. I'm like, what in the world? We can't even go to the pool without all this, you know? And at first I was like, Jade, move over this side. And I'm like, Jade, let's go. You know, it was way too much. People were in pink swim tops, no swim tops. I'm like, you know, there, purity is a lost, it's gone. You know, teach our older women should teach our younger women how to dress. You know, we can't walk around, you know, who was I talking to? And I said, you need a slip. And they're like, what is it? Yeah. What is a slip? I'm like, a slip is so I can't see your underwear through this dress right here. It's just like you're naked standing there because I can see your everything because the dress is too. Men like it, you know, and girls just like, well, they shouldn't be looking. I'm like, well, you shouldn't give them the opportunity to want to look, you know. So we don't even know what a slip is. We don't know, you know, what a bra that actually does what it's supposed to do. It's not enough that you just put on any bra and then you know, I saw a girl, we were at basketball and just jiggling everywhere. I'm like, that, you might as well not even have on a bra, you know. But if nobody teaches you, and her parents were there, you know, if nobody teaches you, you don't know. If nobody teaches you, you can't wear that dress that you see everybody wearing and come up here and raise your hands in praise and worship because I can see your chonies.
Yeah, right.
You know, and in love, by themselves, you need to take them aside and say, you know what? I don't know if you know, but I can see through that dress, or I could see this when you, and then most of the time they're like, you know, oh, I didn't know. And you just teach them little bit by little bit, and that's what we need to do. I talked way long.
That's good.
I can just keep going. But
thank you, because I'm always the one on that rampage.
when I went to the beach, I about had a heart attack with 14-year-olds with the new Brazilian bathing suit bottoms. I guess that's what they're called. I would call them G-strings. And the mom just sitting there like, oh, you're so cute. Keep taking selfies of yourself. And I'm like, you're 14 years old. Like, why are you already conditioned to be sexual? Yeah. You see, guys, we have to bring the beauty of feminine and beauty of womanhood back without being sexy. God hasn't said that we have to flaunt it to be amazing. You're beautiful when you cover it. My husband, even, you know, when I first got married to Pastor Dan, do you know what he asked me? He asked me not to wear spaghetti strap tank tops. I was like, you're crazy. Like, you have issues. And he was like, yeah, I used to. And now I'm redeemed by God, and I'm asking you, as my girlfriend, to not even go there for me. Can I be real with you guys? Because you don't understand how a man thinks. And we understand, these poor guys opened their phones and they got porn right there in front of their face. You're not giving them anything to look or be precious. You know, you are a gift from God. Let them unravel you after you're married. Let them actually open something up, you know. You wonder why he's not marrying you. Well, he's not. My dad used to always say to me, well, you know, why buy the cow if the milk is free? Don't be stupid, Jess, you know. And I wish I would have listened sooner, but... anyways, God already has redeemed those things back, but let's learn how to be modest. Let's learn how to be chaste. Let's learn how to do things the right way. We want to be sexy because we can be, but do we need to be? Because our husbands are the only ones we should be sexy for. So girl, do what you need to do in the room, but do not do it for the whole world to see. Be, you know, my husband always says this to my daughter, Chloe, modest is the hottest, sweetheart. Modest is the hottest. And so, you know, Chloe is constantly trying to find creative ways to dress, but be modest. I mean, she's so anal about it. She's like, oh my gosh, I don't want my bra strap to show. But that's probably because I'm always the one like, it's my bra strap show. I don't want my bra strap to show. You know, you can still be cute and still be covered up. You don't have to be uncovered to be cute. You actually aren't cute when you're uncovered. You're just nasty. Can I be honest with you? It's nasty. It doesn't make you any more of a woman. It makes you, to me, less classy. Let's be classy, godly women, okay? I don't know if anyone has ever taught them that, but let's talk it.
I just want to jump in really quick. I love godly men who, when they see something inappropriate, they just turn around
yeah.
and go the opposite way. And it makes me feel bad for them. Like, you know, we want to be friends with our brothers in the Lord. We don't want to be... So when you said, nobody wear a bikini for the baptism, I thought, the guys that we have at our staff... I can picture them coming out, seeing something inappropriate, and just, let's find somewhere else to go have lunch. You know, that's a godly guy. You know you've found a godly guy when he's like Pastor Dan, just like, you know, I can't be near this. So we want to be kind to our brothers in the Lord and give them a place where they feel comfortable. Like they're just totally, they could just be themselves and be comfortable and hang out with us, and they're not like, I got to go somewhere else. You know what I'm saying? Amen?
The Bible does say don't cause your brother to stumble. So when you say, well, he shouldn't be doing that. Well, the Bible didn't say that he shouldn't be doing that. He did say that to them too. But we also have to help them. Remember, we were created to be a helpmate. So let's help them be successful in their adventure of seeking God and doing it the right way. Can we do that, girls? Can we work on that?
Hey, Jess.
Awesome.
Jess.
Yeah, go ahead.
Say something really quick about to the moms.
Yeah.
My mama, who's in the crowd today, raised 5 girls by herself. Right? And so if I was to give one piece of advice, it's keep Jesus first. You know, even if you feel like I can't do everything right at home, there were some priorities in our house, and one of them is we were in church. We were in church on Sunday, we were in church on Wednesday, there was no excuse, no reason, there was nothing that would keep us away from church. So the other thing is, she prayed with us every night.
Yeah.
We hated it. Get in the living room, get on your knees, fold your hands, bow your head. This is how we did it. We were raised Baptist, and even if we just had to say, thank you, God, for this day, amen, which we had to pray, and she would really pray, but we had to go through, and from the time we were little, we just, this is something that, a discipline that she put in our life. And the other one is, I started working when I was 12 years old, and the first thing she did with my little $3, you write it down, the first 10% goes to Jesus. So it was Jesus first in our time, in church, in finances, and establishing those principles
principles from early on has allowed us to make God first. You know, easy to put Jesus on the throne of your life when you've been taught the disciplines of doing that your whole life.
Very good.
Yeah, that's so good. That's so good. It starts young. It starts young. Because same with us.
You know, I just wanted to add, I read an article, and when you teach your children to make their bed, they did a study, and that the bed makers from a young age, they are more successful in life, they're more prosperous. The reason is because you're instilling a organizational skill, a priority that carries on through their entire life. They'll always be disciplined. They'll always take their time to do what's right, and it all comes from you training your child to make your bet, right? That's interesting.
The simple patterns of life that God gives us that we overlook, right? Okay, one more thing and then we're going to go play. When you find yourselves in a dull place, and Pastor Jenna, you haven't spoke yet, so I'm going to ask you. When you find yourself in a dull place with God, how do you reignite your fire? Like, what are some things that are some tools for you in yourself? Maybe you have a dark cloud over you. You know, sometimes you have great days and then you have bad days. Like, what do you do in those moments?
Well, you encourage yourself in the Word of God, in spending time with the Lord. We have our days. It could be hormonal as women.
Yes.
And we can't listen to those, you know. The situations in life, it could be the stress of the finances, of wherever you're at, peer pressure. If we have some of the younger girls here today, marital problems, you know, for the marrieds. You know, life is life. You know, you're going to have good days, you're going to have bad days, but it's just holding on to the promises of the Lord that, you know what, it's going to be okay. You know, and I like to look at every day as a new day. You know, maybe yesterday was a bad day, or, you know, it was a lot of struggles. Maybe I had to yell too much at the kids, or, you know, got in a fight with the husband or coworker or whatever. But you know what? We have to forgive and release. We got to make a choice that, you know what? Thank you, Lord, for this. When we get up in the morning, it's like, today's a new day. Mm-hmm. God's mercies are new every morning. And thank you, Jesus. I blew it yesterday, you know, but today's a new day. I'm going to do better. It's going to be better, and I'm going to keep my eyes on Jesus. You know, I'm going to put him first, and everything else is going to fall in place. You know, there are better days ahead, and those are the days that will, just every day, just one day at a time. You know, the Bible says, don't worry. You know, God's going to take care of it. Today has enough troubles of today. You know, there's enough worries today. Don't even think about tomorrow. Just get through today, and that will get you through those times in life when you just kind of feel dry. You know, you feel it weary, you know, but the Word of God says, don't get tired of being weary. In due season, you're going to reap what you have sown. Just continue to plant those good seeds into your family, into your children, into your relationships. Love the Lord with all your heart, mind, and soul. Love one another. You know, we have God's love. You keep on planting those seeds of love, you're going to get some reap. You're going to reap some of that back. It's going to be good.
But sometimes you don't always reap back right away. And that's what we don't talk about.
The what?
You know, like you sow. I went through a season where I was mad at God. Oh, Pastor Jess gets mad at God all the time. But I did. I got mad at God and I said, I have sown so much into this ground, but I'm not reaping anything from it except for hurt and pain and rejection. And in those moments, because I know you've lived in those moments.
Yeah.
What did you do to get out of that moment when you're not seeing what the Word is saying?
And that's what it is. It's consistency. It's consistency. Standing on the Word of God. Standing on His promises. Not looking at what you're seeing, but walking by faith. That's when you got to walk by faith and not by sight. By the promises that God, you have to hold on to those promises of the Word that God gives you. You're not, because right now you're not seeing it. Maybe, you know, there's some things that I have prayed for, and I've gotten some of those so far. And there's some things I'm still standing in faith over my sons. You know what I mean? And it's like, Lord, this is a long journey.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But I don't ever give up hope, because there's hope in Christ. I know He is faithful. He is faithful and He hears our prayers. Sometimes you feel like, God, do you even hear me? Yes, He does. He does hear your prayers and He loves you. So you just keep on holding on to His promises. And if you're like, well, I don't got it. The Word is full of His promises. You ask for the promise, personal promise, that He is faithful and He hears your heart and He hears your prayers. You don't give up. You get yourself up every day. put one foot in front of the other, and until you get that breakthrough, you be consistent, and you will get that breakthrough. And it's happened in my life over and over again, and believe me, I've had very dry seasons in my life where I've lost everything. Marriage, kids, you know, my home, but God is faithful, you know. And he restores back what the enemy has stolen. And the Bible says he will give you double for your trouble. Amen.
There you go. Pastor Sue, what about you? What would you say to someone in those moments?
Well, I know and have ministered to a lot of people in just my own life too, that sometimes when you have disappointments or what seems to be delayed prayer or not answered prayer or not what you expected the answer to that prayer to be, your heart can get hard, and you're not planning on it, but you just notice that your highs aren't as high, your lows aren't as low, and somebody can be pouring out their situation, and you're not feeling any compassion. You're just kind of a blank slate. And when your heart is hard toward other people, and you go to praise God, and it seems like there's what the old saints used to call a brass ceiling, you know, and you're not connecting with him. I've actually mentioned this a lot, but in James 4, it says in verse 6, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And then verse 8 is where he takes me so many times. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. God is always there. And see, God wants us to have a vibrant relationship with him. It's not religion. It's not going through the motions. Keep going through the motions until you come through on the other side. But he wants a vibrant, walking, talking relationship with you, where you hear his voice, where you're excited about what he's doing in your life, and there's this intimate connection. It says, draw near to him, he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. He's talking to us as Christians. And purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. And so if I have too many of those days of just, like I said, my heart feeling hard and not really being able to connect and worship or whatever, or I know that I've just gone through a big disappointment and I just feel that residue is still left, I call it on your face fellowship. I'll say, God, I just need you. I want you. I don't care. Forgive me. Whatever it is, if I've kind of subconsciously blamed you for how things have gone, I am so sorry. And you just spend some time in just repentance, and those tears soften your heart again, and the sweetness of the Holy Spirit just comes in, and you're able to just really sense his presence again, and that strengthening of his presence. I can go through anything if he's with me. Yeah. If I sense his presence, if I know his strength, I can know that by faith. I can know what the word says, but I'm kind of a glutton for the presence of God. I've got to sense and know that he's there and with me and stuff. And so that's how I get out of my wilderness is I just get on my face and let him come in and heal and help.
Anybody else have something that they want to say in those hard times?
I just think one big thing is the sacrifice of praise. You know, they call it a sacrifice because you don't feel like doing it. But how many people in here know that when you're crying and wailing, it doesn't help?
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't help. You don't have to beg God. He's already done everything that he's going to do. And he's given us the tools. You got to put your big girl pants on and you got to get in the word. And the times that I found myself the lowest where I feel like, man, I don't want to get up. I can't handle this. That word, Deborah Smith Begay was saying, feeling overwhelmed. And she says she never wants to feel overwhelmed. When you start to feel that way, I found that it's always that I have like an undernourished spirit, that I have an unbalanced life. I've let other things creep in, whether it be your job, your kids, church activities, your husband. I've let all these things creep in, and I've slowly but unconsciously kind of drifted from God. You know, and the Bible says we have to keep up our own spiritual fervor. It means we have to encourage ourselves. You can't go to church on a Tuesday afternoon and expect the praise and worship team to lift you up with a song. You got to encourage yourself. You got to stop crying. crying, and you got to get the word of God, and you got to start confessing it, and you got to spend more time with God. You know, you got to check and see, where is my life unbalanced? Where have I not let him come in? And you have to add in your day, you got to pencil him in. You know, all of us are so busy, and we're all given just 24 hours, but you got to take time to pencil more time in with God. If you got to fast, you got to fast. You need to press through, and he will come through. He says he'll never leave you or forsake you, right? He's there. You're the one that's not there. And every single time, as I draw close to God, just like Pastor Sue was saying, he comes through because he's faithful. He said he's faithful. If you can think back on if he's ever blessed you, you know he's going to come through this time. So you just got to stop crying. You got to get a verse to stand on, and you got to start confessing it. You got to start spending time with God. You got to check your life for your priorities and make sure you're putting him first.
Very good. Very good. Wow. Very good. That's so good.
Very good. Real quick, Jeremiah 29:11, we know the plans that I have for you for good. But if you keep going to verse 13, it says, and you will seek me and find me.
Good.
When you search for me with all your heart. And a lot of times I'll just confess, I just whine. God, I don't feel you. And I feel like God is like, come on, search for me with all your heart. Don't just, you know, we feel that thing like, I need you, God. I'm just hungry. Let me get a snack. Or I just feel so empty. Let me turn on the TV. Am I the only one here
No.
who does that? Okay. And he's saying, all your heart. Come on. He has a treasure that is worthy for those who are really hungry and going to seek him with all their heart. So,
and a godly woman is going to do that. Everything you guys said today, a godly woman is going to press in because she loves God so much more than anything else on this earth. You see, your loves and your passions and your desires all need to be directed and geared towards the word and towards the things of God, because what your lives are for him. I said it last night in my message that you were bought with a price. You are not your own. You have been bought with a price. And so our lives are to be given, and one of the scriptures I used last night said, to be given with the glory of God with our bodies and with our spirits. That means every part of us is for him. And so when we start to understand that, I think we can think differently. We can look at the world and go, I'm in it, but I'm not of it. And we can look at our lives and go, okay, that's the way I used to do, but I'm doing it differently now because that's not pleasing to the Holy Spirit. And that's not where God wants me to go. And when you have your gray cloud days, you can pull yourself out of them, even if you're dragging yourself on the ground, because you know there's a God in heaven cheering you on and going, come on, don't let the enemy come defeat you. Come on, you know what the word says, and the word that you put in will pour up out of you in those days. So put it in so it'll come up out of you. Put it in your kids so it'll come up out of your kids. So, I mean, so many things that you guys have the ability to have an influence over, but you choose not to. Look at your world today and go, what do I actually have influence on, but I don't realize I did?
Yeah.
Every word of your mouth, every action that you say, everything that you do, you don't have to be in someone's face going, you need to, you need to, you need to. All you have to do is love them and be a living example of the word of God, and they will be drawn to your light and your goodness, going back to what Teresa was saying in the very beginning. You see, all of this is a beautiful picture of a classy, godly, beautiful woman, and I believe God wants that for us. I had found a scripture I wanted to close with. Sorry, hold on, my phone went dead. Now it's not recognizing my fingerprint. Don't you hate phones? Okay. It is Psalm 68:11 in the New Living Translation. It says, the Lord gives the word. I love that. And a great army of host of women bring the good news. Girls, you are the great army of host of women. So go give the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ to your husbands and your children and your grandbabies and your nieces and your nephews and the girl at the grocery store and the girl at Target and the girl at Walmart and the bus driver. Wherever your world takes you, you be that ambassador and the mouthpiece for Jesus today. So let's just, did you guys get something from today? I thought that was wonderful. Thank you for your guys' wisdom today. Thank you.
Lord, we just come before you as your girls in this house, and God, teach us, mold us, train us, equip us to be who you need us to be, God. Help us to see through healthy, godly eyes, God, not through worldly, unhealthy eyes. And Lord, we ask, God, that you would help us, to give us the words to speak in our areas of influence as women, God. Give us the areas to celebrate what you've put and created inside of us, God. Help us to be beautiful, loving women, God, that would love people back to life, God, those that are lost in our world, those that are around us, God. Help us not judge them to death, but love them to heaven, God. And Lord, we pray in the name of Jesus, God, you would use our hands and our feet to be full-time ministers for your gospel in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.